Te invitamos a una prueba de nivel gratuita para que lo tengas mucho más claro. Y sin ningún tipo de compromiso, infórmate ya en el 911335833.
Con Let's Cook te va a quedar un inglés rico, rico. Ya tienes Let's Cook en cualquiera de nuestras tiendas Vaughan o en vaughantienda.com. Consíguelo antes de que se enfríe.
Estar en medio. ¿Qué significa estar en medio? Pues no estar en ningún sitio concreto, ni bueno ni malo, ser un soso, o lo que es peor, molestar. Estar en medio y no dejar ver una peli, estar en medio de dos personas. Vamos, que eso del medio no mola. Pues con el inglés pasa lo mismo. Ese famoso nivel intermedio de inglés no sirve para nada. Es ni fu ni fa, incluso molesto. Por eso, un nivel de inglés intermedio no te va a ayudar a mejorar en tu carrera profesional. Así que ya es hora de cambiar.
Vence al nivel intermedio de inglés con el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Compatible con tu trabajo, exigente y eficaz. Más de 500 horas intensivas para mejorar tu inglés profesional. Apúntate ahora. Llama al 911335833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Everybody, how you doing? How are you? It's Monday. It is Monday, everybody. Happy.
Oh, yes. Hello there, Kyle.
Hello there. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's Thanksgiving Monday. Did you know that, Tino? It's Thanksgiving in Canada. It's Canadian Thanksgiving today. And I'm going to tell you all about it. Not a lot of people know this in Spain. A lot of people don't realize that there's a difference between Canadian Thanksgiving and American Thanksgiving, and today is Canadian Thanksgiving. How am I celebrating? Am I celebrating? Well, I'll tell you. I'll explain what this holiday is all about, and we'll even look at some vocabulary related to Thanksgiving on the Drive Time show today. We got lots more to cover, though, as well. We're going to look at history. Well, we're going to look at the history of Thanksgiving in both Canada and the United States. Well, we'll also look at some other history. We had a terrible meteorite crash, but an interesting story as a meteorite crashed into a car on this day in 1992 and kind of created an interesting story. And I'll tell you a bit about this one. Also, some facts, some interesting facts. I'll tell you about that. We'll also have a look at some grammar. We're going to look at the difference between shall and let's. Shall we do that? Yeah, good idea, Kyle. Let's do it. We'll look at that. And also technology, some interesting technology news to talk about on the Drive Time show today. We do. Oh my gosh, we got lots to talk about. Lots to cover. So let's get things started. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Gracias. Ya te llamaremos.
Ya te llamaremos.
Bueno, ya te llamaremos.
Acaba ya con la pesadilla de todas las entrevistas de trabajo y mejora definitivamente tu nivel de inglés profesional con el Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Ameno, exigente y a tiempo completo. 1000 horas intensivas en las que tendrás que esforzarte. Por eso funciona. Vence al Ya te llamaremos con Vaughan. Apúntate. Llama ahora al 911335833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
A por ello. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Drive Time Show. It's Monday. We're back. It's Monday. And it's a kind of a fractured week, isn't it, Tino? Because Thursday's a holiday, right? Thursday's a holiday. We got a nice week, though. There will be no live shows on Thursday. But later on this week, we're going to have a special guest on the show. Our good friend Brad Stevers, guitar player, blues musician from Austin, Texas, who you may recall was on the show. We learned all about blues.
Es una fiera.
Well, you know, he's a nice guy. He's a good fella. We had Brad on the show back in June. June or July, Tino? June or July. And anyway, he's going to come back to the show either tomorrow or Wednesday. He's touring Europe. Or he's touring Spain. Está de gira. He's touring Spain again with his band. Actually, he's supporting another blues musician, and whose name is Lindsay Beaver. And they're going to come to the studio, and I think play some music for us. That should be a lot of fun. That'll be either tomorrow or Wednesday, as soon as I get confirmation from them on that. But we got lots to cover on the show today. We're going to talk about Canadian Thanksgiving, because it is that time of year. But first, let's go ahead with the Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
Tweet, everybody. That's right. All right. The way this works, I'm going to give you the sentence in Spanish, and you can tell me the sentence in English. All right? Sound fair? Right? Okay, good. Okay, now, Tina, if people want to participate, how can they find me on Twitter?
Tweet Kyle at I'm Kyle Miller, o lo que viene siendo IM Kyle Millar.
Very epic, that one, right? Tweet me. I'm Kyle Miller is the name on Twitter. E-M-A, Kyle Millar. K-Y-L-E-M-I-L-L-A-R. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Él se recuperó en tiempo récord.
A tope.
Yeah, that was the way his recuperación. But él se recuperó en tiempo récord. How'd you say that in English? Let me know. Tell me how to say that. And while you think about it, Tino, where should we go?
The warm-up gym.
Yeah, the warm-up gym. Ah, now, it seems so much more strenuous than just a warm-up, isn't it? It seems like the guy's really struggling, right? He's really...
Estamos. Yeah.
That's right. It's so much more than a warm-up. But anyway, we're going to try a little bit of translation today. All right? Are you ready? There you go. And the crowd goes
pretty
wild.
Good.
Okay, pretty good. All right, number one. Siempre hago lo mejor que puedo. I always do the best I can. Hey, you can't do better than your best, right? Siempre hago lo mejor que puedo. I always do the best I can. Mejor, no? Can't do any better, Tino. Mejor imposible. I always do the best I can. Okay. Number two. Eso no es suficiente. That's not enough. That's not enough. No, enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Number three, no te rías de él. Don't laugh at him. Don't laugh at him. So the preposition here, to laugh at someone. There's a big difference between laughing at someone and laughing with someone. I get together with my friends. I was laughing with my friends. We were laughing about the film. But if you laugh at someone like this, you say, no te rías de él. Don't laugh at him. You know, you're making a joke about it. It's not nice to laugh at people. Come on. Don't laugh at him. So the preposition makes a big difference here. Number four. Esa meta no puede conseguirse. Esa meta no puede conseguirse. That goal, or this goal, excuse me, esta meta. This goal can't be achieved. I'm sorry. This goal can't be achieved. It's too difficult. No, it's just too tough. It's not easy. No es fácil. No, this goal can't be achieved. Okay? Mucha gente ha estado preocupado por ti. A lot of people have been worried about you. Yeah. I don't know why, but a lot of people have been worried about you. A lot of people have been. Okay. No les pedí que se preocuparan por mí. I didn't ask them to worry about me. Hey, I didn't ask them to worry about me. The tone, notice the intonation is very important. If I said, I didn't ask them to worry about me, or if I say, I didn't ask them to worry about me, or if I say, I didn't ask them to worry about me, the intonation gives a very different feel. And so it's important to recognize that and try to play with your intonation, okay? And master the sort of subtleties of the intonation. Okay. ¿Por qué no han hecho nada todavía? Why haven't they done anything yet? Hey, why haven't they done anything yet? No han hecho nada todavía. ¿Por qué no han hecho nada todavía? Why haven't they done anything yet? So remember, yet is used in questions and in negatives. Yet. And we're not saying jet. Jet is like a fast-moving airplane, right? A jet going through the sky. So this is yet with the Y, like yellow, yo-yo, yes, yahoo, yes, yet. Why haven't they done anything yet? It's like the I, the E Latina, E, that sound, right? E. Why haven't they done anything yet? Okay, let's get more difficult. Let's get more difficult, shall we, Tino? Más difícil. All right, I know you do. Okay. ¿Por qué no quieres hablar de verbos? Why don't you want to talk about verbs? Good question, right? Hey, why don't you want to talk about verbs? Why don't you? Why don't you? We link it together. We normally don't say, why don't you? We normally say, why don't you? Why don't you? Or the you often becomes ya. Why don't you? Why don't you want to talk about verbs? It sounds very American, right? Why don't you? Why don't you? But the reality is you have to develop your ear to recognize these different sounds and to recognize the native style pronunciation of the structures. You can learn the structures, but if you can't understand them when they're spoken the way they're really spoken, which isn't always the way they maybe should be spoken according to the rules of the language, you know, you have to recognize how to recognize the words. Okay, we'll do a couple more. We'll call this one. This one's number 9. I'm gonna pick a more challenging one. I'm going on to a section that's called Nivel Avanzado.
Okay, a ti me gusta.
All right. Podríamos deshacernos de todos ellos en un año más o menos. Podemos deshacernos de todos ellos en un año más o menos. We could get rid of, deshacer de algo. To get rid of, we could get rid of them all. Or you could say, we could get rid of all of them. We could get rid of all of them en un año más o menos. En un año más o menos. In about a year. It's much better to say that than in a year, more or less. That sounds, I mean, grammatically, in a year, more or less. It works, I guess, but much more common to say in about a year. Right? How old is Michael Jordan? He's about, actually, I don't know, 50? He's about 50. 50 years old, maybe, Tino? Michael Jordan? I don't know. He's about 50. Now, you could say he's 50 more or less, but it's more common to say he's about 50. He's around 50. Right? How old is Mick Jagger? You know, he's around 75. Is he 75 already? He can't be. 70. He's around 70. He's about 70. He's around 70. This is much more common than saying he's more or less. Right? He's around 70. What was the temperature when you were in Alicante? Oh, it was around 30 degrees. It was about 30. So I encourage you to use this structure, about or around, instead of more or less. Spanish people tend to overuse that. Okay, finally, number 10. Así podríamos saldar nuestras deudas. That way, we could settle our debts. To settle. Settle. That way, we could settle our debts. Now, debt, deuda, debt. It has a silent B. We don't say debts. No, but debt, debts. One debt, two debts. That way we could settle our debts. All right. Anyway, I think we're all warmed up, right? We should be warmed up by now. Let's take a real quick break, but I'll be right back.
Hello, good morning.
A las 7:30, haz las mañanas más productivas. Más radio, más Vaughan, mucho más Richard Vaughan Live.
Me licencié hace 4 años en la universidad. Al año hice un máster, después otro. Además estoy acabando el doctorado. Pero ayer no pasé un proceso de selección por no saber inglés.
¿Te suena esta historia? Ocurre todos los días. El inglés es fundamental para progresar en tu vida laboral en todos los sectores. ¿A qué esperas para aprender inglés de una vez por todas?
Máster en inglés profesional Vaughan, tu solución definitiva.
Si estás entre los que busca un buen puesto de trabajo, esto te interesa. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional Vaughan y aprovecha tu tiempo para alcanzar un nivel de inglés que te ayude a encontrar ese puesto de trabajo que quieres. Más de 1000 horas de inglés intensivo, inmersiones en entornos 100% angloparlantes, prácticas y nuestros profesores Vaughan que marcan la diferencia. Apúntate. Llama al 91-133-5833.
Well, folks, today people are talking, at least I'm talking about it, Canadian Thanksgiving. Maybe I'm the only one in Spain talking about this, right? But I don't know. But it is, in fact, Canadian Thanksgiving. And there was even a tweet by our friends here at Vaughan Radio, 4 things Canadians do at Thanksgiving. But first of all, I want to paint the picture here a little bit. I want to explain what this is all about, Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving. Now, the American Thanksgiving, I'll acknowledge, is more famous, and it's probably a bigger deal. It's a bigger deal, right? It's a bigger thing. American Thanksgiving for an American means more. It's a bigger occasion, let's say, than Canadian Thanksgiving for a Canadian. So here in our little facts sheet about 4 things Canadians do at Thanksgiving, it says they visit their families and friends, but it's not such a, as big a deal as in the U.S. That's true. So you visit your family and friends. Now, I know in Canada, a lot of people would go. If you're in an area where there are cousins or relatives nearby, you know, you get together, you have a big meal, you eat a turkey, right? They normally eat turkey with stuffing, que es el relleno. Sweet potatoes, corn, gravy, seasonal vegetables as well, right? Pumpkin pie is a standard dessert, that's true. And stuffing. If you get invited, especially to an American Thanksgiving, here's my tip. If you ever get invited to the American Thanksgiving, the meal will be similar to the Canadian one. Eat the stuffing. The stuffing, el relleno. So the idea to rellenar, to stuff, the idea is you put maybe some nuts, some breadcrumbs, like migas de pan, spices and so on inside the turkey, and this absorbs the juices of the turkey, and it is delicious. And now there are a lot of brands of stuffing, like you can get what they call stovetop stuffing, literally on top. You do it on top of the stove, right? And to me, the stuffing is tastier than the turkey. This is my tip, right? Go for the. Make sure you get lots of stuffing. It's tasty. Also in Canada. We watch, now in the U.S. they watch football, and in Canada we watch football as well. They have an event called the Thanksgiving Day Classic, which is a football game on national TV. El Clásico de Acción de Gracia. Now, Clásico is not, I'm not talking about Madrid and Barcelona here. Es otro tipo de Clásico, right? Basically, in Canada, the football classic is in the CFL, the Canadian Football League. Not everybody knows this, but Canada has Canadian football as well, which is different from American football. And the Canadian Day, the Thanksgiving Day Classic is an annual doubleheader. Doubleheader means a day when there are two games. It's played on Thanksgiving Monday in the CFL, the Canadian Football League. And typically, one team plays on Monday afternoon, and the other one plays in the evening. So there you go. So that'll be going on today in Canada. But the biggest thing is people get together. You travel a little bit if necessary to spend time with family. And it's often it's an occasion that goes through the weekend. So a lot of families, like my family, would often have a bigger dinner on the Sunday. And then you have Monday to relax a bit. And then maybe relatives are driving back home to wherever they're from, wherever they live, right? So the real Thanksgiving Day is on the Monday, but very often the meal takes place on the Sunday. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit more about this Canadian football in a minute, but let's look at the origins of Canadian Thanksgiving. It always falls on the second Monday in October, which is today. And it actually goes back to a British explorer, a pirate, really, or a privateer, as we say. Privateer is basically a government-sanctioned pirate, a government-supported pirate. And a guy by the name of Martin Frobisher. He was an English seaman and a privateer. He made three voyages to the New World. We're talking about the 1870s, right? He was looking for the Northwest Passage, and he landed in northeastern Canada, right around Newfoundland. Newfoundland. Now, a lot of people make the mistake of saying Newfoundland, but it's Newfoundland, right? It makes sense, Newfoundland. Hey, we found some land recently. Let's call it Newfound. But no, we say Newfoundland. Newfoundland. In 1859, Canada's Protestant ministers started to petition for an official day to give thanks to God for their harvest, the cosecha, the harvest. But over the next few days, they found more and more reasons to be grateful. They were happy. The Canadians were pretty happy to be not involved in this terrible U.S. Civil War that was going on. And the Thanksgiving days that the government proclaimed during that area were quite religious. They would have Thanksgiving Day sermons in the churches and so on. So it was a holy day in the middle of the week when people would go to church and they would give thanks to God and give thanks for everything in the, but also acknowledging the harvest, la cosecha. And they were also acknowledging being Canadian and not being involved in the Civil War that was going on. So there were a lot of different reasons to be thankful. And they also wanted to have a day that started to say, yes, we're, you know, at the time they were part of the British, well, still part of the British Commonwealth, but under British rule, but they wanted to have a day that was sort of more Canadian than British. Now, in 1908, this Thanksgiving tradition was sort of solidified to a regular annual thing, and they moved it to Monday, to the second Monday in October. And it was actually the railways, which are so important in that time, that lobbied, they pushed for it to be on a Monday so you could have a long weekend so people would visit their families and, I suppose, take the railway by train, right? And so that change became permanent. It made sense. They said, look, if we're going to have a holiday, let's have it on a Monday when people can visit their families. And the railways were excited about this because people would take the trains to go to other cities and other towns to visit family members. So in the years after that, this early autumn, this early fall timing became very popular, and the holiday has since been kind of detached from its religious origin. It's not a religious thing now. It's just an idea of giving thanks and really giving thanks for family and thanks for, you know, being prepared as well for the winter. So this idea of the harvest, la cosecha, is very, very important. And in the early days, you know, when you harvested your crops, you could be, you know, if you had enough that you were going to survive the winter, and you have, you know, wood to burn for the winter, and you have crops that you're going to be able to eat, then you say, ah, good, great, now let's have a meal, let's celebrate this, because we've worked hard all year to prepare, because the winters are brutally cold, and if you're not prepared, you'll die. So they basically said, look, we're ready, we're going to survive the winter, we're ready to go, let's have a party before the weather gets too bad, let's celebrate, you know, and enjoy that. And so that was sort of the idea of the Canadian Thanksgiving, which goes on this day, Monday, second Monday of October every year in Canada. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're going to take a break. So we have to do when we come back. I'll look at some of the other maybe traditional things surrounding the Canadian Thanksgiving, just a little bit. And we also have some vocabulary about directions. So when somebody says, hey, which way to the stadium? And they only speak English, you'll know how to give them good directions after listening to this next part of the show. We're going to take a short break, everybody, but I'll be right back. So don't touch that dial.
Si estás entre los que busca un buen puesto de trabajo, esto te interesa. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional Vaughan y aprovecha tu tiempo para alcanzar un nivel de inglés que te ayude a encontrar ese puesto de trabajo que quieres. Más de 1,000 horas de inglés intensivo, inmersiones en entornos 100% angloparlantes, prácticas y nuestros profesores Vaughan que marcan la diferencia. Apúntate. Llama al 91-133-5833.
Estar en medio. ¿Qué significa estar en medio? Pues no estar en ningún sitio concreto, ni bueno ni malo, ser un soso, o lo que es peor, molestar. Estar en medio y no dejar ver una peli, estar en medio de dos personas. Vamos, que eso del medio no mola. Pues con el inglés pasa lo mismo. Ese famoso nivel intermedio de inglés no sirve para nada.
da es ni fu ni fa, incluso molesto. Por eso, un nivel de inglés intermedio no te va a ayudar a mejorar en tu carrera profesional. Así que ya es hora de cambiar.
Vence al nivel intermedio de inglés con el Executive Master en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Compatible con tu trabajo, exigente y eficaz. Más de 500 horas intensivas para mejorar tu inglés profesional. Apúntate ahora. Llama al 911335833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Gracias, ya te llamaremos.
Ya te llamaremos.
Bueno, ya te llamaremos.
Acaba ya con la pesadilla de todas las entrevistas de trabajo y mejora definitivamente tu nivel de inglés profesional con el Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Ameno, exigente y a tiempo completo. 1000 horas intensivas en las que tendrás que esforzarte. Por eso funciona. Vence al Ya te llamaremos con Vaughan. Apúntate. Llama ahora al 911335833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
Everybody, we're back. Just like that, we're back with the second half hour of the Drive Time Show. It's drive time. Drive safe, everybody. If you're driving, right, stay safe on the roads. But if you are driving, you may also want to know some directions, how to give and receive directions in English, okay? Sigue de frente. Oye, sigue de frente. Todo recto. We say, go straight ahead. Tira pa'lante, no?
Ya mismo.
It always reminds me. In fact, when I went to Nacho's wedding, I've told this story, haven't I, Tino? When I went to Nacho's wedding, Alberto Alonso and I were going to Nacho, our sound technician from the radio, in the morning sound tech, Nacho. Got married about, 5 years, I think 5 años, 5 or 6 years. And I was going to his wedding with Alberto Alonso, and we got out of there was a metro stop, which made it handy, but we got out of the metro and we were traveling. We were trying to go, we were trying to walk, and we stopped a couple of old ladies. There were a couple of señoras, you know, and I said, excuse me, perdona. Estamos buscando la iglesia, no sé qué. Whatever the church was. And she said, tira pa'lante. Tu no te preocupes. Tu tira pa'lante. And exactly. Tira pa'lante. So in other words, go straight ahead. Keep going. Just keep going straight, you could say. Keep going straight. Okay, continúa a la izquierda. Keep left. Keep left. Continúa a la izquierda. Keep left. Keep right. Now, turn left, gira a la izquierda, turn left. We also have an interesting one here, tuerce. Tuerce a la derecha. Tuerce a la derecha, right? Bear. We say to bear right. It's kind of like keep right. So there's going to be a split in the road. When you get there, bear right. Don't go left. Bear right. Como oso, B-E-A-R. Bear. Interesting word, bear. It means oso, bear, and also to bear, like, tuerce a la derecha, bear right. Keep to the right. Don't go left, but keep to the right. Bear right. Not bear to the right, but just bear right. And also, bear can also mean aguantar, soportar. Well, we're going to have to bear it. So that's an interesting word. Gira la próxima a la derecha. Take the next right. Take the next right. Next left, next right. Okay, hasta llegar a... Lo que es hasta llegar al bar. Until you come to... Until you come to a bar. Cruza. Cross. Cross. Continúa. Go along. Go along or keep going. Yeah, keep going. Continúa. Keep going down the road. Retrocede. Ooh, sounds very formal. Retrocede. But in English, yeah, go back. Like volver, no? Go back. Hey, you got to go back. If you miss it, you got to turn around and go back. Pasar por, to go past or go through. Go past the first set of lights, then take a left. Gira la izquierda, take a left. Or sometimes we use the term, very casual term, hang. Hang a left. Hang a left at the first right. Hang, como colgar. But yeah, hey, hang a left at the first set of lights, right? Hang a left, and then go straight, and then bear to the right until you come to the first intersection. Drive through the intersection, and then cross the intersection. And then go straight ahead and you'll see it. So there's a lot of vocabulary here, okay? Some interesting vocabulary. All right. Oh, I want to go back. I mentioned I would talk a little bit more about some Canadian things. Canadian football, because people say, Kyle, what's the difference between American football and Canadian football? Well, interesting. Canadian football, basically the sport is the same. The sport is like American football, very similar, except you have, instead of four, what they call downs, a down is like an opportunity, a play, an opportunity. And you have, in American football, you have four downs. You have four attempts to move the ball 10 yards. And if you get 10 yards, your attempts reset, your downs reset, and you get first down again. So if you get 5 yards on the first one, 2 yards on the second one, you have a third attempt to get 2 yards that are remaining or 3 yards that are remaining. And then if you get the 3 yards, then it goes back to first down and you keep resetting until you move the ball to the end of the field and you score a touchdown. But in American football, you have four downs. In Canadian football, you have three downs. That's the biggest difference, right? Also, the field is bigger in Canada, and there are other technical rules. I think the rules to Canadian football, believe it or not, I think are better than American football. I recognize that the players are better in the NFL. The American League has better players because there's more money. But the rules of the Canadian game is very exciting. The rules are the rules make the game very exciting and fun to watch. Anyway, so Canadian football, and the Canadian Football League is older than the National Football League. It's older than the NFL. The Canadian Football League is, I think, the oldest professional sports league in North America. It's been gone for a very long time. It's a small league, only, I think now, eight teams, I believe. No, sorry, that's not right. How many teams? Nine teams in the CFL, the Canadian Football League. I'm going to have to check this. CFL teams. I think there are nine. Yeah, I think there are nine teams. Anyway, I'll confirm that in a few minutes. But yeah, I believe there are nine teams. Anyway, so Canadian football, a little bit different. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... Nine. Yeah, nine teams. You have Calgary, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Edmonton, British Columbia, Toronto, Ottawa, Hamilton, and Montreal. Nine teams in the whole league, which is a really strange setup, isn't it? A whole league with just nine teams. But you have in Canada, you know, you have a small number of cities that have a million or more people. The population of Canada is only about 32 million. Spain has about 46. Canada has significantly fewer people than Spain. And the distance between cities is great, so it's expensive to be traveling, you know, flying from city to city. So you can only justify having a pro team in a few of the larger cities. Now, hockey is very popular. There's seven Canadian teams in the National Hockey League, but hockey is such a popular sport in Canada that they fill stadiums, and basically every game in Canada, every professional hockey game is sold out, essentially. And they do very well, and they make a lot of money. But football doesn't have quite the same demand. And there has been talk of putting an NFL team, a National Football League team in Canada, in Toronto. But it never happened. They talked about doing that a few years ago, or maybe 10 or 15 years ago now. But it never happened. And, of course, it would kind of interfere with the Canadian League. So it never happened. Anyway, so that there you go. Canadian football. Another thing that is typical on this Thanksgiving Day in Canada. And the food. Like I said, turkey. Bowel. Turkey and stuffing. Very typical. And then you have various vegetables, you know, turnip, potato, sweet potato, cranberry. Often cranberry sauce. Cranberry is arándano. Arándano rojo. Cranberry, which is very typical in my province, actually, Nova Scotia. There's a lot of cranberry harvesting that goes on, and it's a very healthy fruit as well. It's a very healthy berry. Good for the kidneys. Right? Very healthy. Good. Anyway, there you go. So a little bit of background on the Canadian Thanksgiving. Hey, why don't we push forward and have a look at today's Drive Time Phrasal Verb.
Drive Time Phrasal Verb.
Well, the Drive Time Phrasal Verb is to run into. Es tropezar con alguien, to run into someone, right? Now, it can be physical, like I was driving my car and I ran into the wall, or I ran into a tree, right? To smash into. But it's also to run into someone, which is to see someone or encounter, come across someone that you don't know. So to come across someone, to meet with someone that you don't necessarily know, excuse me, someone that you know, but you don't plan to meet, excuse me. So the example I've given many times is I'm down on Gran Via and I see Tino. Oh, hey, Tino, what's up? I didn't think I'd run into you down here.
Hello.
And he says, hello. So yeah, I run into Tino. Now, I've talked about this many, many times on the show, and I always give the same example. It always gives me an opportunity to talk about another phrasal verb, which is to come across. To come across is typically with things. So typically you'd come across things, but you run into people. So I ran into Tino down on Gran Via, but I came across some old photos when I was looking for my passport. I came across some old coins when I was looking for my camera, and I came across some old coins in the closet, for example, right? So we say to come across is to like find something that you're not looking for, and to run into is similar but with a person. You run into a person. You're not looking for the person. You're not expecting to meet them, but you see them. Okay. So there you go. Our phrasal verb today, to run into. But of course, it also means to physically, like, bump into something, to run into the wall. Right? Or to run into something with your car, to physically hit. something accidentally. Okay. Well, usually accidentally. All right, there you go, folks. We're gonna have to take a short break. How about that? A real quick break, but I'll be right back.
Si estás entre los que busca un buen puesto de trabajo, esto te interesa. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional Vaughan y aprovecha tu tiempo para alcanzar un nivel de inglés que te ayude a encontrar ese puesto de trabajo que quieres. Más de 1,000 horas de inglés intensivo, inmersiones en entornos 100% angloparlantes, prácticas y nuestros profesores Vaughan que marcan la diferencia. Apúntate, llama al 91-133-5833.
Vaughan Empresas es mucho más que clases de inglés para empresas.
Mucho más.
Tenemos varios tipos de cursos a vuestra disposición, como nuestros cursos in company, con profesores que se desplazan a vuestra empresa para dar allí las clases en el horario que acordéis con ellos.
Nuestras clases online y telefónicas con varios niveles y temáticas disponibles.
Nuestros seminarios de inglés de negocios, Business Skills, ideales para mejorar la capacidad de comunicación en el ámbito laboral.
O nuestros programas de inmersión intensiva en inglés dentro de España y en el extranjero.
Y por supuesto, nuestro Executive Master en Inglés Profesional, nuestro producto estrella del que los empleados de tu empresa saldrán completamente preparados para usar el inglés en el trabajo.
¿Buscas un curso que se adapte a las necesidades de los empleados? Entonces buscas Vaughan Empresas.
Infórmate ya en el 91-133-5831 o en grupovaughan.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Why don't we have a look at today's expression of the day?
Expression of the day.
All right, everybody, the expression of the day. Our expression today is to beat around the bush. Hey, stop beating around. Usually we tell people to stop beating around the bush. You're beating around the bush. Right? It means you're avoiding the issue. You're avoiding something. You're not getting to the ir al grano. We say get to the point. Right? To get to the point is the opposite of beating around the bush. It means focusing in on what has to be done and doing it. So to avoid the issue, to beat around the bush, el arbusto, beat around the bush. Now, in hunting, it's often necessarily to actually beat. You go to a bush, you think there might be, birds in there that you're trying to get or something. So you're moving around in the brush noisily in order to sort of flush animals out into the open. And so a hunter might beat around the bush, making a show, but maybe not actually trying to, he doesn't really want to kill the animal, so he's not getting into the bush to really get it. He's just sort of beating around the outside. He's avoiding the inevitable. And apparently that's the origin. But imagine, to beat around the bush, it means to not get to the point, to avoid to avoid the issue. Right? To beat around the bush. To beat around the bush. Okay, hey, why don't we take a look at today? We're going to go back and take a look at some things that happened on today, the 9th of August, with Today in History.
Today in History.
The 9th of October. I think I said August there. Is it still August, Tino? I kind of wish it were, but no, it's the 9th of October, right? Today in history. And on this day, back in 1992, we had there was a lady named Michelle Knapp. She was watching TV in her parents' living room in New York. And she heard a terrible crash in the driveway. So she ran outside to investigate, and she found a pretty large hole in the rear end of her car, in the back of her car, which was an orange 1980 Chevy Malibu. And there was a matching hole in the gravel driveway underneath the car. And in the hole was, well, the culprit. What was responsible? A bowling ball-sized rock. Bowling ball, and right, los bolos, bowling ball, to go bowling. A bowling ball-sized rock underneath. It was extremely heavy for its size. It weighed apparently 28 pounds, shaped like a football and warm to the touch. It was still warm and also smelled apparently like rotten eggs. The next day, someone from the American Museum of Natural History in New York City confirmed that the object was a genuine meteorite. Meteorite. Now, scientists estimated that the Earth, that the Earth is bombarded by about 100 pounds of meteoric material every day. Now, these are pieces of asteroids and other debris, right, made of rock, iron, and nickel that have been orbiting in space for millions of years. Some are as tiny as dust particles and others as huge as 10 miles across, but most are the size of maybe a baseball. And astronomers and other people who pay attention to the night sky can easily see them. When a meteorite enters the Earth's atmosphere, it blazes across the sky. Right? To blaze, like to have a trail of fire. It blazes across the night sky like a fireball. So what most people call shooting star. Oh, I saw a shooting star. These are actually meteorites, usually. Thousands of people in the eastern United States saw this green meteorite as it streaked down and would eventually crash into her car. A lot of people heard it too. One witness says that it crackled like one of those sparklers. You have, you know, on New Year's Eve, you often have a sparkler, those gray, sort of shiny but gray things. You light it on fire and it produces sparks. It's called a sparkler. Scientists determined that it came from the inner edge of the main asteroid belt in space between Jupiter and Mars. While meteorites are fairly common, a meteorite hitting a car certainly is not. A car, after all, a very small object on a very large planet. In fact, as far as scientists know, it has only happened twice before, once in Illinois during the 1930s and once in St. Louis. Eventually, the famous meteorite was sold to a collector and two fossil dealers who broke it into smaller chunks and sold those to a handful of other collectors and museums. The car, meanwhile, actually sold for $10,000 to Lang's Fossils and Meteorites in New Jersey and has been on display in New York, Paris, Munich, and Tokyo. So imagine that, buying a car because a meteorite destroyed it, and then sending it around internationally to continent to continent, sending this car around, shipping it around so that it can be put on display. And people can look at it. Oh, here's the car that was wrecked by a meteorite. Well, all right. Interesting. All right. We'll push forward, everybody. How about that? Why don't we... Everybody likes facts, right, Tino? Let's take a look at the section we call And That's a Fact.
It's a strange world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. A world where knowledge is power. A world where we strive to know as much as we can. Did you know that it's impossible to sneeze with your eyes open? Or that a shark can detect one part of blood in 100 million parts of water? Today's fact might not turn you into a genius, but you just might find it interesting.
And that's a fact.
And that's a fact. Well, here we have some Canadian Thanksgiving facts. That's right, it is that time, and I promised I would talk about this today. So how about a few facts related to Canadian Thanksgiving? As I mentioned earlier, in case you missed it, it's always celebrated on the second Monday in October, earlier than the American Thanksgiving, which is in November. Now, since 1971, it has coincided with Columbus Day in the United States, which is today. The first Thanksgiving feast in the United States was held in 1621 when the Pilgrims celebrated their harvest, the cosecha, the harvest. But it was 1578 in what is now Newfoundland that the Americans didn't invent Thanksgiving. It was this English navigator, Martin Frobisher, who held a celebration of thanks in 1578 in what is now Newfoundland in Canada as he survived the long journey over the seas. So he's saying, oh, good, we arrived. Let's have a feast. So it's kind of a stretch to say Canada invented Thanksgiving or Canada did it first. I mean, it's true. The first Thanksgiving was in Canada, but it's become a different sort of celebration. We're not going to argue about that too much. But Thanksgiving falls on a Monday, and so many people have their dinner and their family get-togethers. There's a nice compound word, a get-together, like to meet up. Hey, let's get together. Let's have a get-together. They often have it on the Sunday, which is often the case with my family. While it's widely believed as well, here's an interesting one, that eating turkey makes you sleepy. People credit this substance called tryptophan in the turkey. They say, oh, it makes you tired. You know, and people say that, but a lot of experts believe it's actually the carbohydrates that are part of the turkey meal that causes you to feel tired. I don't know. Is it the tryptophan? Is it the carbohydrates? Or is it the fact that you just eat as much as you possibly can? Anytime you eat that much food, you're going to be tired, right? It's basically, it's a feast. It is a true feast. You know, you eat, you get so stuffed, and I find myself falling asleep after a meal that big. Turducken. Here's something. Turducken. Have you ever heard of this, Tino? Turducken. It's a turkey and a chicken and a duck all together. So they take you take the duck, you put the duck inside the chicken, and then you put the chicken inside the turkey, and you cook the whole thing. They call it a turducken. And it's quickly becoming a popular alternative to turkey on Thanksgiving. It gives you the best of three worlds, turkey, duck, and chicken all baked together. There are a lot of cranberry farms around North America and Canada, British Columbia, and also on the East Coast. And they produce cranberries, which goes into cranberry sauce, which is a common side, a common dressing for turkey. And indigenous people use them for cooking and also for dyeing their clothes and adding color to things. So the cranberry has long been a part of Thanksgiving in Canada and in the United States. We have to take a break, everybody. That's what the sound indicates. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a couple minutes with plenty more of the Drive Time Show. So please, whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Si estás entre los que busca un buen puesto de trabajo, esto te interesa. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional Vaughan y aprovecha tu tiempo para alcanzar un nivel de inglés que te ayude a encontrar ese puesto de trabajo que quieres. Más de 1,000 horas de inglés intensivo, inmersiones en entornos 100% angloparlantes, prácticas y nuestros profesores Vaughan que marcan la diferencia. Apúntate. Llama al 91-133-5833.
Vaughan.
necesitan empresas es mucho más que clases de inglés para empresas.
Mucho más.
Tenemos varios tipos de cursos a vuestra disposición, como nuestros cursos In Company, con profesores que se desplazan a vuestra empresa para dar allí las clases en el horario que acordéis con ellos.
Nuestras clases son